Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague, American Greatness, and Malcolm Holine, our colleague, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We begin with the tragedy in Israel in these last days, a very large casualty rate from a pilgrimage in northern Israel. Malcolm, good evening to you. What can you tell us about the cause and the results so far of this tragedy? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you and to Thaddeus. It's indeed a very sad day. These are national days of mourning in Israel because of the loss of 45 people, many of them young people. The biggest toll from a non-military incident, they believe, in Israel's history. And it came about because of the pilgrimage that takes place every year. But the last 2 years was postponed, 1 year because of COVID and the year before because of forest fires in the region caused by extreme drought. So the authorities didn't allow people to gather. So this year, 100,000 people came, which is way beyond the normal number. And they gather in various areas on Mount Meron near the grave of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was a great scholar, one of the five that survived the massacre, the deaths of Rabbi Akiba's students, and was considered the teacher of his generation. And there are many interpretations, which I won't go into, but he was one of the supposed authors of Kabbalah, of the Zohar, and that he revealed his teaching on this day. And this is the day when the death of Rabbi Akiva's students stopped. So it's, for various reasons, described as a day of celebration. And one of the customs that developed over the years was to build bonfires and to gather there at the tomb where they sang and prayed. And so people came there, and many people bring their children for the commemoration, the celebration. And as they were standing on the stands, it could be that one gave away or that people started to leave, and they left on this walkway, elevated walkway, which was made of metal, and they started slipping. And one would fall, and then another one would fall behind him. And people, because they were coming from a large area, concentrated into a small passageway, nobody knew behind. And so people got crushed in the rush as people were leaving. And unfortunately, there are many who paid with their lives, and others are still wounded, and God willing, will recover.
The adversaries continue despite the tragedy. Thaddeus?
Yes, Malcolm, is it true that Russians are helping to escort Iranian ships off of Syria?
So this is an interesting report, because the naval warfare, as we've discussed for some time on the show, takes on greater and greater significance involving the Iranians, both in the Gulf. But now the reports are that Iranian ships that are smuggling arms to Syria are being protected by Russian naval vessels in the area. As you know, that Israel for a long time has operated against the on-land transfer of weapons to Syria, and they've regularly tracked them and successfully destroyed many of them, not all. But now, as they point out, the rules are different because Iran is sending them by ship, and the normal means of retaliation are limited because of the presence of the Russian ships that are accompanying them. And Israel has intensified its attacks on targets in Syria once the weapons are delivered from the sea. But under the Russian umbrella, they are having greater protection from any kind of measures against them. And the Russian news agency Sputnik even reported that a joint Russian-Iranian-Syrian force would be established in the Mediterranean to assure the safe arrival in Syria of oil and other goods. But those other goods include weapons. And by the way, at the same time, we're seeing that the U.S. Navy is being harassed in the Gulf by Iranian vessels, these little fast boats and some even larger boats. Three of them swarmed to American ships in international waters. It caused a serious incident. Some warning shots were fired, and they left the area. But we've seen this escalation as Iran increases its naval capacity with the new submarines they're building and new weapons. They have these onshore missiles, and the Gulf is a particularly dangerous area because it's very rocky. So there are a lot of inlets where people can hide boats, and these fast little boats shoot out and can harass and even do damage to American shipping in the area. So there's talk about the asymmetric nature of Iran's response to maximum pressure by the use of the Navy and the threat of closing the Straits of Hormuz and Bab al-Mandab, which are today the two of the most important waterways in the world and the only ones that are really under threat. So the coastal defense cruise missiles deployed on Iran's coastline and on Abu Musa and on the Farsi Islands, all of these come together to present a real danger to American ships in the Gulf as well.
Malcolm, the foreign minister of Iran, a man by the name of Zarif, you've spoken over these last days about revelations that may or may not be trustworthy of his recording his remarks about John Kerry, but about other matters to do with the predator state Islamic Republic of Iran. You have observed that we must be cautious, concluding that this leak may be purposeful. What do we know right now, Malcolm?
Well, there's a debate inside the sources in Iran whether Zarif himself leaked this in order to advance his presidential candidacy, that he would be the force against the hardliners, the one candidate that might stand up against him because of these revelations, which are include an attack on Soleimani, this revered figure, the head of the IRGC, and on the IRGC generally, and especially, as you pointed out, the comments he made that Secretary of State Kerry informed him of the Israeli attacks in Syria and that he wasn't aware of it, meaning that the foreign ministry was assigned a very limited role in diplomacy, but the IRGC, Iran Revolutionary Guard, and the Supreme Leader were really running much of what was happening. And there's others who say it was leaked in order to defeat any chance he had of being a candidate. He is still mentioned as one of the potential candidates for president, the election coming up very soon. And you have to clear the Guardian Council, et cetera. So any controversy like this can play for or against. But he also mentions the attack on the Ukrainian plane and the IRGC demanding of him that he go public and deny it, which he said he didn't do, and or urging open support for more support for Assad, that Soleimani was pressing him very hard for them to do more to praise and support Assad in Syria. There were also criticisms about Russian planes overflying and overflying Iran to bomb Syria, which he opposed. And he goes through many other things. And one of the things that's really come up lately is the changing attitude amongst the Saudis, which the Iranians are perceiving. 15 people connected to this interview have been ordered not to leave their home, Iran. And Zarif denies that his candidacy, but we know that there are people trying to position him as this alternative.
Malcolm, I'm aware that spy versus spy is mirrors within mirrors, but at this point, the presumption would be this was a purposeful leak. Is that still a presumption here that
yes,
the reason we have this is because there's an agenda, we just don't know whose agenda it is?
Right, and that's why I said the agendas can go in both ways. Each one is accusing the other, but absolutely this was very deliberate. It was done by an institute that has links to the president, to Rouhani, and the interviewer himself was a renowned economist. So this was not just something that happened to pop up accidentally.
And the remarks about Soleimani, the slain hero of Iran, is that meant to put Zarif in the moderate camp? Is that how it works after all these years?
Exactly, that he gets and to mystify Soleimani a little bit. As you know, he's always been promoted by
right,
the Supreme Leader and continues to be. But exactly, that the one of the rationales is that positions him against the hardliners, and they shift the onus then onto IRGC for a lot of the
All right, let's
problems.
Go back to the rascals in the Levant. Thaddeus?
And Malcolm, the Palestinian elections have been postponed. Why?
Because essentially because Abbas knows he was going to lose, and the candidates that were running against him would not back out and would not change the positions, especially Dahlan, El-Kidwe, Arafat's nephew, and Barghouti, who is in jail.
Mahmoud Abbas stronger. Has been president since 1823. Please continue,
Malcolm. Yeah, don't exaggerate. It's only his 112th year term, but he is really in the 15th year of his four-year term. And, you know, they were afraid of a Hamas victory, so this is going to exacerbate the problems. We also see increased terrorist attacks. Today, a 60-year-old woman tried to stab some soldiers, and there was a drive-by shooting. So the population itself is upset, even though there was a lot of indifference to this election. But the postponement, you know, only means that they continue the kleptocracy. And in fact, one of the key members of another party went to the EU now and asked them to cut off the funding. His house was attacked last night, firebombs and stun grenades, because he did it. But he said, we've got to stop this money just being poured down the rabbit hole of Abbas's kleptocracy. So it has a lot of more ramifications than simply the election. But it had been anticipated. And, of course, they're blaming Israel, saying that they couldn't vote in East Jerusalem, which was not the case. Last time they let him vote in post offices and other places, but recognizing Israeli sovereignty over Jerusalem. You don't have foreign elections there. So this is a story, a saga that is going to continue with us.
Malcolm, we have a note here of new tunnels. Where?
New tunnels from Egypt again. As you know, there were thousands. Egypt really did a concerted effort to try and eliminate the tunnels, and they even flooded it with waters from the Mediterranean. And yet, it seems that Hamas and their allies have resumed putting back the tunnels. And for smuggling purposes, and as you know, they take stuff from Egypt, sell it at a much exaggerated price, but it also is a means for smuggling weapons. And I think that what we're seeing now is the Egyptians facing a renewed challenge of trying to eliminate the tunnels, though many of them are just being reopened. They closed them, but they couldn't destroy all of them. It's on the 9-mile border with Egypt, and they make huge profits. So they made a 1-mile deep buffer zone, and they flooded, as I said, some of the area and built two walls, but they seem to be able to get around it.
Back to Zarif, Malcolm. This is a puzzle. Is Zarif the supreme leader's candidate to continue the negotiation with the Biden administration? Is that what we think is going on?
Well, no, they appointed chief negotiators, other people who are really carrying the burden of the negotiations, and he probably feels somewhat sidelined from it. He's the guy they send out to do high profile visits, to put on the moderate face, and to continue the mythology that they have created with him. But I think that the negotiations are in the hands of direct representatives of the supreme leader with the IRGC's backing. And they are claiming, by the way, that they have made significant progress today, saying that and indicating that the U.S. is ready to commit to reduce the sanctions on many key sectors, including oil and banking, which would be very surprising, I think, to many in the Congress and elsewhere, if that is in fact the case.
Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. My colleague Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. We're going looking for the dusty one, Indiana Hohenlein, when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabay Sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabay has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.